The undiscovered black country, the folks don't seem to know. The undiscovered black country, where everyone should go. People walk or cycle round, they pass the time of day. The undiscovered black country, as places tucked away.
It's coming on Christmas. They're cutting down trees. Don't worry, today I ain't going to sing. It's a great song, though, I hate that. But it sort of made me remember Christmas a bit. Christmas is coming up, so I thought I'd just relate a bit of what our Christmas is like, and probably what Christmas was like for a lot of you, really, when you was little. And in terms of what, you know, what you had, what you were geared. And we could go through all that, but mostly about our Christmas parties, because our Christmas parties were like something special. I mean, when we were like little, they all used to be at my Nanny Murray's in Portway Road in Albury, because everybody used to come. And they'd last, I mean, Christmas parties had last for weeks, really, because there'd always be something coming in. Because they all worked down at Ackles, you see, they'd come home at dinner time and, you know, you'd have me Nana would be baking and me Auntie Joyce would be baking and stuff like that. But Christmas days was great there and Christmas nights was great there. Because me other, everybody's other part of the family, like all their in-laws were invited as well. So it was only like a back-to-back, but you'd have, I don't know, 70, 80, 100 folk there. And you'd pull up the sashes on the windows as well. And when they started singing in the best room, all the neighbours would come round the street lamp and we'd be singing carols and old songs and stuff like that. It were great. But of course, when they knocked all Albury down, we were all moved up, or most of we were moved up onto the Cakemore estate, which was by the Hen and Chickens. It was the back of the barrel and it was like a new estate, really, that were built probably in the early 50s. We moved up there about 55, 56, something like that. And all my aunties were on the estate, so we used to take it in turns. Who'd have, like, Christmas Eve, who'd have Christmas night, who'd have Boxing night. And then you used to sort of have a week off, really. You had a week off work. So there'd be something going on, because you had to eat all the food, don't you? So you'd have, like, cold meat for about 3 weeks. And they do things like curries then. So you ended up probably having a broth or something by about New Year's Eve. And, of course, there'd be something going on every night until New Year's Eve, and then you'd have New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. But Christmas nights were sort of busting, really. Because, I mean, say it were at our house and we was up the close. You'd have your Christmas dinner, everybody would be together for Christmas dinner. You might have your Nana and your granddad come for Christmas dinner and you'd have like everything, all of the trimmings. And our dad used to cook weekends, every weekend. It was just a tradition on a Sunday that he cooked. But of course, there was that much to do on Christmas Day that they all had to muck in. And you usually had your turkey would be cooking like all day, Boxing Day, and the mate would just drop off it. And you'd have to take the giblets out and everything, wouldn't it? So you'd be sucking on the neck and stuff. You'd be in a line, me and my three brothers. Mother, can we have the neck? Mother, can we have the kidney? Mother, can we have the arc? And then you'd have a liquor dripping, wouldn't you? Which would be fantastic, absolutely brilliant. And you'd have the Christmas puds. Our Auntie Joyce used to start making the Christmas puds round about Easter time, and just kept, like, every time it'd be in the cold stone, really, in the pantry. And every time you'd go in, you'd drop a bit more of whatever it was, whiskey or whatever the t'other stuff is in there. So by the time Christmas come, it'd blow your head off, you know, even if you was a bab and you had a tiny, don't give much of that, it'll blow his head off. So you'd have your Christmas dinner. Settle down, mother and father would usually go up for a sleep on Christmas, even on Christmas Day. I tell you what, if the Queen and Prince Philip had come to meet my mother and father on a Christmas Day, then they'd have to go because they was upstairs. They'd go upstairs and go to sleep and take a nap. And one day when we was all growed up and we'd left, me and our Gaza, my brother, one of my brothers, we snuck up after dinner and we got in the bed. And we didn't tell anybody or anything anyway. We could hear him coming upstairs, and they walked in, and I can remember now, my father says, "The lads have gone to sleep in the bed, Kath. What are we going to do?" "Well, they're going to get up. We always have a sleep on Christmas afternoon and all." And yeah, we had such a laugh. But anyway, you'd get to the evening, and it had start, and my aunties had start coming about, what, about 5 o'clock, something like that. And of course, they'd all brung summit, so there'd be unmade mince pies, there'd be sandwiches. You'd had to have the piccalilli and the beetroot and onions and stuff like that. And then they'd all have the beer, and the snowballs had come out and stuff like that. The baby shams had come off the toff. Anything that you'd have in the year. You had to have advocaat, you had to have port, so you could have a port and lemon. You'd have to have the baby shams. The men would probably have a short, because they only drunk beer during the year, but they'd have a short. And everybody, all the blokes, used to smoke fakes, don't they? But on Christmas night, they all used to have a cigar, a Castella or something like that. And you'd have somebody come out with a box, like whoever it was, the house, say it was our father was the host, he'd have brunged a box, a Castella cigars, and he'd like walk in the hall and he'd go, "Lads, Castella." And they'd all go, "Oh, Harry, I'm one of them." And they'd all be this, smoking these cigars. It didn't matter whether they liked them or not. You had to smoke them as a tradition. And all the wenches had, they'd be in the kitchen, the wenches. There was that many folks, because again, it was only like a small council house. So all the kids would be on the stairs, sat on the stairs, listening to all the lads until the singing started. And the wenches would maybe be in the back room and the kitchen, and then the blokes would all be in the front room until it was time for a big sing-song. So the wenches would be there, and it'd be like my mother. Say it was my mother who was the host, and they'd say, "Wenches, shall we have a baby sham?" So they'd have a baby sham, and then it'd be, "Shall we have a port and lemon?" And they'd have a port. And then it'd be the bee's knees, wouldn't it? "Shall we have an advocaat?" And we don't know. And then sometimes you'd go in the kitchen and, "What's that, Mum?" And I'd go, "Here, have a sip." So you'd have like a sip of a baby sham, sip of a port and lemon, sip of an advocaat. It's probably why I never drunk, because it was, you just hated the stuff. And everybody would smell of pickled onions and, "Have one of these," and it'd be cold. They'd be cutting the turkey cold and cutting the beef cold. Anybody had brung anything. My Auntie Joyce's Christmas pudding, Christmas cake would be there. And so you'd all, we'd probably just be swapping toys on or being in the bedrooms and stuff and all playing, because I must have had about 20 cousins come, maybe even more than that. And there were much of a difference in the ages. They were probably from about 5 up to 11, except a couple of the older ones, and then they'd be allowed in the best room, the front room. And you'd have the decorations all round and the trees and stuff. And then it had come about 9 o'clock, something like that. You know, when they'd had a few beers and all that, and you'd hear my dad say to Uncle Eric and Uncle Bill, "Come on then, lads, it's time for a sing." And you'd shout in the kitchen, "Come on, you wenches, we're having a sing now." And then all the kids, "Come on, come and sit on the floor here." And people like our Joni and our Jeff, they'd do the party pieces, because our Jeff, even at a young age, could play the guitar and had a fantastic voice. And our Joan used to sing down the chapel. So they'd have arranged something, that they sung together, or they'd sing a carol or something. So the kids would have the flow of fust, and you might have us doing a dance or something, or recite a poem or something. And then it was time for Uncle Bill, Uncle Eric and our dad to start singing, because they were the Murray Brothers, see, and they sang in all of the clubs like the Braids and stuff like that down in Albury. So they had all the songs. Now, if we were at Uncle Eric's house, he had the Joanna there, so we played the piano, but not at our house. They just sang. I think our Auntie Fred used to say they sang Acapulco, but I meant a cappella, Daya. And they started off, and you'd have like Lucky Black Cat, you'd have Paper Moon, which was everybody's favourite. And it'd go on, and everybody would join in, and even the kids knew all the words, and I remember them as today, as though it were yesterday, really. And then you'd hear it, but there was no like notification that was happening. And slowly at first, you'd hear something like, "We'll call down the river," and our Auntie Joyce would go, "Oh, he's off." And Uncle Sam was her husband. And Uncle Sam, if I can describe me Uncle Sam, he was big as a bonkos, Uncle Sam was. And he used to have a shock of black hair, like severely brushed back, a massive, massive battle chest. He had a big, bit of a beer belly, but it wore big. But he was a big battle-chested bloke. And I think he used to work on the you know, he used to make all the sights and that for the couches, upholster all them, down Smerwick somewhere, I think it were. Anyway, he'd start, "We'll call down the river." And Auntie Joyce would go, "Oh, God, Sam's off." And everybody would, like, move. Almost like, you know, when Moses parted the waiter. It was a bit like that, really. They'd all sort of move to the side. And Uncle Sam would be, like, propped up against one of the corners of the room. And the reason where... well, two reasons where, really. One, he'd had his fair share by then. Because he'd ain't really start singing. He'd ain't join him with anything. Until he'd had a few points, so he'd probably had 6 or 7 points. And also, as I'll tell you in a minute, there was a reason why the law of gravity needed him to be up against the wall. So he'd start like, and he'd start singing Paul Robes and stuff and all the old gospel-y sort of stuff. And we'd sat there and we'd be transfixed because the more he sung, the redder he got and the more he sweated. So he was like, it was pouring out on him and it looks as though his face was going to bust. But he like breathed in and it was like a Superman chest. His chest was like bigger than anything you see'd. And our Joyce was just rolling her eyes and all the wenches had by this time had, you know, been and got topped up their advocate or something. And they were all standing there. But you couldn't not let him sing. And then slowly, as he was going through it and he was sweating more and, you know, and he was slowly moving down the wall. So as the song was coming out, he was gravity was like taking him down. And as he got closer to the floor, then his voice got quieter and quieter. And by the time he got up the corner, he'd gone to sleep. And Auntie Joyce says, "Oh, that's it, we can carry on now, Sam's finished." And you'd just leave him there until the end of the night. And sometimes he'd just sleep there all night. And, you know, Auntie Joyce would go home, would walk home with Uncle Orm and Auntie Hilda and the rest of my auntie uncles. And he'd be there in the morning, just wake up and my mother would come down and he'd still be there, asleep in his suit and his saturated shirt and all that. As good as gold. And after he'd finished then, it was like... put the records on the stereogram. Do you remember them, the stereograms? Well, first we only had one of them little decks, them record players. But then our father went to, I think it was New Day that he had everything on tick, from West Bromwich it was. And also the shop down by the end, Chickens, and your daddy's on tick. And you always knew when you was coming to the end of the card, because you'd have something new. But I think this Christmas when Uncle Sam sung Guitar House, we'd had this stereogram, so Father would say, "Okay, folks, I'm going to put the stereogram on now." And you'd have the singles on, and it'd be like The Beatles or Chubby Checker. Then you'd have the Everly Brothers, The Bachelors, and then me dad and Uncle Bill and Uncle Eric could sing along to The Bachelors because some folks in Albrim, where they played, said that they sounded like The Bachelors. You know, they were like the Black Country Bachelors. And you'd have a sing... For a good 2 hours, and it would be like the next morning, really, early parts of the morning. And folks would come in and there'd be more food. And then sometimes you'd get dressed up. I remember one Christmas that we had this like hippie party and everybody come as hippies The wenches went for it like full wallock. They had like hippie frocks on and beads and everything and all that. And the blokes was more staid, so they still come in the D-mob suits and that. You might have them with a like a bandana on or something, but they were very, very set in the ways. So it took a long time for them. I mean, they were good, don't get me wrong. They were a right laugh, and they was always telling jokes and stuff like that. But they were very staid, and it was like, oh, no, we ain't, you know, we ain't putting jeans on. You'd never, ever see a bloke in a pair of jeans. It'd always be overalls or proper trousers. Even if they'd got vest and braces on, they'd be proper trousers. And I don't think it was until our dad's was probably... I know we'd growed up probably in his late 60s till he had his first pair of jeans. I mean, even in the garden, they'd wear trousers or corduroys. Corduroys were like a thing that they wear, and brogues. And I suppose because it had been them being in the army that they, you know, they polished the brogues every time they went out to work, every day, every night they come back off shift, they'd clean the shoes and stuff. Even if we had like a themed party, they would still come in the suits, the blokes with, and their open collars. Do you remember when they used to fold the shirts back there, then spread it across the lapel? For some reason, I don't know if that was just our family or all blokes. I think it was all blokes. But these Christmas parties, it'd probably be about 2 o'clock, maybe 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock. Sometimes they went on all night. It just depends how they were, how the big ones were. And because they had to go far, see, because everybody were on the same estate. They'd only had to walk around the corner, and nobody drove then. Nobody had the money to have a car. Nobody drove, so you just walked home, didn't you? But you'd get to the point where it would probably be... early in the morning, maybe 2-3 o'clock, and everybody would then just sot round, and they'd tell stories about when they were kids, growing up in Albury at me nana's, and all the stuff, like me auntie working at the Travellers Rest when there were six, if I went to school, and cleaning all the spittoons out where the blokes used to have that black twist. Remember the black twist? And they used to chew it, don't they? And then they'd spit it in these little bowls in the pubs, and it'd go rock hard. And my Auntie Glad's job was with my nana, who cleaned the floors and everything. My Auntie Glad, if I went to school, had to clean these spittoons out. And I says, I used to weave, because they used to stink to high heaven. And so we just sat there, the kids. I mean, some of them, you'd go to sleep on the floor, and they'd just leave it on the floor, or they'd stick you on the settee, or put you on the couch or something. And you'd just go to sleep, but you wouldn't go to bed, and there was kids on the stairs asleep and all that. And so they'd tell stories and still be eating, you know, and the place smelt of Castilla cigars and pickled onions or piccalilli or red cabbage or something. And they'd be half-eating sandwiches and pork pies and stuff all over the place. But it was just the most wonderful, wonderful place to be and to grow up in. Because it was just full of magic and kindness and stories and song and everybody just having an absolutely buster of a time. And when I look back now, and there was no materialism at all, you know, nobody was coming and saying, oh, look what I saw, I had this, I saw, you had an orange, a bag of nuts, you might have some underpants, some socks, a compendium. You might have a selection box, something like that. You might have the odd present that was different. Like one year I had some football boots, or our kid had a train set or something. But that was only if you were a bit flush. And again, it would probably be on tick, probably from Barclays, the newsagents down the road, where my dad used to get all the annuals from. And again, he'd pay every week so that when the annuals come out, he'd bring them up in like a brown paper bag. And stick them on the tour boy, and I used to add them all red by Christmas. But, you know, there was nobody coming trying to be flash that I'd brung this and yo, I got this and all that. Everybody just was satisfied with what they got, and it was more about the unity of the family and everybody just getting together and enjoying one another as folk and as a family. And they're such strong Christmas memories. There are try to carry them on with like my kids now at Christmas and tell them how important it is to, you know, to make sure that they meet with the mates that they've known for ages, meet with the family, and enjoy the family. And it's aye what you get. It's what you gear at, really, that's important. And there's some blinding memories of Christmas, and particularly that one of our Uncle Sam. I can see him now up the corner there, just starting, and he started with his suit on, and then when he started to sweat a bit, his coat had come off, and our Joyce would say, "Oh, his coat's coming off. So and so's coming next. You know, whatever song comes next." And he only ever had the Toreador was another one. He only had about 3 songs, but you had to let him get past them songs till he was there up the corner, flat on his back, asleep. Bless his little cotton socks. And that's Christmas for you.
The undiscovered black country, the folks don't seem to know. The undiscovered black country, where everyone should go. People walk or cycle round, they pass the time of day. The undiscovered black country, as places tucked